The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. I'm your host, David Williams, along with
the Sammy B, and welcome to Hoop Ball Grizz.
We are here for a little bit of a weekly preview show. We're going to review last night's game, the win against the 76ers. Before we jump into any of that, I want to take a moment here at the beginning of the show. A guest that has been on the show multiple times, Mr. Isaac Simpson, lost his father. Isaac, our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family as you go through this tough time. We're going to leave it at that, man. We're going to get into basketball. Just know we're praying for you, man. Here we go. Sammy, did you get a chance to watch the game last night?
I didn't get to watch none of it.
No.
I know.
You're killing me, man.
Yesterday it was just a bad day in general.
It'd be like that sometimes.
It is. Life happens.
So the Grizzlies claw their way back to 500, improved to 6-6 on the season, 106-104.
Thank the Lord.
Got a little bit close at the end, got a little bit scary. JV was in a little bit of foul trouble, leading to Xavier Tillman getting plenty of minutes last night, and Xavier looked good. Looked good at the five. It was not so surprising to me, and I don't say that lightly as in, oh, I knew that Xavier. Like, I've been pretty high on Xavier ever since we dug into researching him for when we done the Bigs episode, when we were doing the draft episode. I've liked him since then and what he can bring to the table, and we got to see quite a bit of that last night because of the extended run due to the JV foul trouble. So final score, 106-104. Grizzlies hold on to beat the 76ers at home. Ja Morant was back. He was not out 5 weeks. Didn't think he would be. Glad to see him back. He looked pretty good. Played 31 minutes, so I don't think there's going to be a minutes restriction.
I would say not.
You know, he did mention something after the game about getting back into shape, but he played almost 31 minutes and didn't really look tired. 17 points, 6 assists, and a steal. Didn't shoot the ball that well. Well, he wasn't at 50%, 7 of 14, 0 for 3 from 3, 3 for 4 from the free throw line. Kyle Anderson, 11, 6 and 5. Brandon Clark had a double-double. Still not shooting well from the field. Brandon Clark was 4 for 14 from the field. That's Dylan Brooks-like numbers. Hmm. Speaking of Dylan, 11 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 5 for 15 from the field. Did make a pretty timely 3 late in the game to keep the Grizzlies ahead. JV had a pretty rough night, foul trouble, 9 points, 7 rebounds, 1 block. Xavier Tillman, I told you he had an extended run because of the JV foul trouble. He produced 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals. Looking solid. He was 7 for 13 from the field for 54%. Grayson had a solid game at 26 minutes. I cannot wrap my mind around that, Sam. It's kind of driving me crazy. We'll get back to that. 12-7-4 for Grayson. Desmond Bane, 18 minutes, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. Tyus Jones, 6 points, 1 rebound, 4 assists, 3 steals. De'Anthony Melton, 12 minutes.
4 points.
12 minutes. Why?
3 seconds.
Tell me why. Like, I want to hear you. You're going to be Taylor Jenkins right now, Sam, and you're going to justify why in the mother freaking heck, why is Grayson Allen playing 27 minutes, basically 26 and a half minutes, and De'Anthony Melton
playing 12
is playing 12.
Can't tell you.
Got a love affair with. So let's go back to last year a little bit. Taylor Jenkins had a love affair early on with Marco Gudrich. You remember that last year, Sam?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Marco was out on the floor. And I will say this. You look at the stats that Marco had coming overseas and what he brought to the table or what they thought he was going to bring to the table. And it's like, okay, I can see they're wanting to give him a little bit of time to adjust to the speed of the game. Because he was a 50% shooter from three-point, from deep overseas. So they gave him a little bit longer of a leash, but the leash was too long last year with Gudrich. And then here we are again this year. Grayson had a good game tonight, or last night, rather. But De'Anthony Melton is better than Grayson Allen.
Hands down.
I'm comfortable saying that. I will say De'Anthony Melton is probably the best two guard on this roster. I don't know that you can justifiably argue that with about anybody else. His offense, a little bit lacking. Yeah, I'll give you that. I was not a fan of paying De'Anthony Melton big money to keep him around. After seeing all the contracts and what was dished out, I'm okay with the contract that they gave De'Anthony Melton. But if you're going to pay the man, let him play. Let him play. What? It's a developmental year. Yes. Understand that. Get that. I support that. But De'Anthony Melton needs to be out on the floor more than 12 minutes. It wasn't foul trouble. Couldn't tell you what it was. Don't know what it was. But let's look at this roster a little bit here, Sam. You look at the guys that were playing last night. Jenkins has made it clear this year, hey, I'm going to play a 10-man rotation. I'm sticking to a 10-man rotation. Who in the hell is not going to play whenever Jaren and Justice comes back? Are you taking all the minutes away from De'Anthony Melton? No. You sure as hell shouldn't be.
He might, though.
You know, like, but that's only one person. You know, Jaren might have to ramp up. He's probably not going to come back and jump right into 30 minutes a game. Justice probably the same way. But eventually, by season's end, Jaren Jackson's going to be playing 30 minutes a game. I can't speak for Justice. We don't know yet. I would guess if he's healthy that he's probably going to be somewhere in that vicinity as well. Who are you sending to the bench? My number one vote right now is Grayson Allen. You know, we've talked about it off and on this show, and Grayson will have streaks where he kind of puts it together and he's looking good, but then something happens and he gets derailed. You know, an injury, the ankle, a hip, whatever the case may be. Grayson can't seem to stay healthy long enough to keep it together. I understand that you want to see what he is and if he's going to be a part of your team moving forward, but at what expense? A guy that you already gave De'Anthony Melton the contract, so that tells me that he's part of your future plans. You're just going to play your best two guard on the team 12 minutes a game? I don't agree with that. Taylor Jenkins is obviously a stronger basketball mind than me, or, you know, I'd be sitting on the bench and he'd be sitting here doing a podcast. But it's not just me. There's plenty of people. There's plenty of great basketball minds that would agree that De'Anthony Melton is the best two guard on this team, and yet he's not seeing the minutes. Is some of it shape? Is he out of shape coming back off of COVID? He doesn't have the endurance. He's having to ramp that back up. It is possible, but Jenkins' rotations have been wonky, putting it lightly, from day one. His rotations, I think, have been the only thing that have been a constant question for him. So, Sam, you're sitting there, you're looking at the rotation. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what two guys are you taking out of that rotation? What two guys can you justify taking out of that rotation whenever Jaren and Justice come back?
That would be really, really tough. But what I'm looking at, and just hear me out.
Yeah, you're fine.
What I would probably have to say is that, depending on where they put Justice,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know Jaren's going to play the four.
Right.
That's going to take a few minutes away from Brandon, probably. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Of course, he comes off the bench anyway.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, he's starting right now, but yeah. you move Brandon back to a bench role.
He'll probably be about 24 a night, I would say. Because what is he doing right now, 30?
I mean,
30 right now.
Yeah, he's right around that. Yeah. He's probably not averaging that for the season, but since he's been back and got his legs under him, he's been right around 30 minutes a night.
Yeah, and probably take a few minutes away from Kyle Anderson too. But now, what comes to it, you're going to have to literally take people out of this thing, and that's
if
what
he,
makes
so
it.
So here, yeah, that's the thing.
That's what
he,
makes
he's
it
He's made
hard.
It clear. He said, I'm sticking to Taylor Jenkins. It says, I'm sticking to a 10-man rotation. So by that logic, you've got two guys that are a lock to be part of your rotation. Who are you taking out? Are you setting Desmond Bane?
He better not.
Are you really going to, like, who are you setting? Who's going to be the two guys that you set? Do you set the two rookies that are on the team because they're rookies, even though they've been producing and playing at a freaking high level? Are you going to set the rookies and keep Grayson Allen playing? What do you do? And if Grayson plays the way that he did last night, please don't take this wrong as in I'm saying Grayson doesn't deserve minutes, because that's not the case. When Grayson is playing well, like he did last night, he can be productive. He showed in the bubble that he needs to be a rotation player when he's right. I don't know what's going to happen. I agree with you. I do know BC is going to see a drop in minutes. That's going to happen. I think some of those minutes come from JV, honestly, but he's not going to be out of the rotation. He's your starter. You're going to see just Jaren and BC on the floor together, whichever one I'm playing the five, whatever, doesn't matter. But some of those minutes are going to come from JV. Kyle's probably going to see a drop in minutes. But if he sticks to the 10-man rotation, it kind of handcuffs you, and you wonder what's going to happen.
This is what I see. I just scrolled through this.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what I would probably, because I scrolled down here. Okay, obviously, when everybody's healthy, 100%. More than likely, Justice Winslow somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, quit doing that, tablet. You got Jaren. That's two.
Yep.
So then I would, this is what makes it hard. D'Anthony Melton, Tyus Jones, Desmond Bane, Jonas, Dylan, Brandon, Kyle, Ja. That's 10, right? Is that 10?
Yeah, and so you didn't mention.
I didn't mention Grayson. I didn't mention Tillman. Exactly.
Well, why? Like, why do you bench Tillman?
That's hard. I mean, it's hard, man.
Why do you bench Tillman? What has he done?
If you're listening, you had better have 11-man rotation and have Tillman, and then it's, or have a 12-man. How many people are on this team anyway? Like,
I mean,
20
it's a
of them.
Team. You're
you got 20
at,
of them.
Gorgie has played well, and he's out of the rotation right now.
I think Taylor Jenkins has lost his dang mind.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're looking at this and you're like, okay, it's going to be a 10-man rotation. All right. A lot of teams, you don't have enough players that you can go 10-man and really be productive. But they do. They do add. They have 12 guys that legitimately deserve to be on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have your best players on the floor. D'Anthony Melton is going to be one of your best players. He needs more than 12 minutes a game. They've got to do something with that. I don't know where it goes. I don't know what the answer to that is. I like D'Anthony Melton coming off of the bench. I like what he does with Tyus Jones, Brandon Clark, and D'Anthony Melton. They work fabulously together. Great chemistry, the back and forth between them. It's like they know they've been around each other enough. They know what the other one's going to do. And so they're always in the right place. Or not all, you can't say always, but the majority of the time, they're going to be in the right place doing the right things. I have no idea.
That's tough.
Glad I don't have to make this decision.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
I hope and pray that Taylor Jenkins doesn't take a note out of Budenholzer's book and becomes bullheaded and is like, I'm sticking to 10-man and I ain't no changing it. Xavier Tillman has earned minutes. And this time when they were shorthanded, he has went out there and he's done nothing but produce. I can't, and you know, we're 12 games into the season. Not that many, but in the games that Xavier Tillman has played, I will almost guarantee it that you can't go back and find one where he just looked like he didn't need to be out there. Or his first couple games a little slow? Maybe. He's a rookie. It's completely different. Going from college to the NBA, a million times different. Jimmy Johnson, I was watching football yesterday. Football is obviously not basketball, but he was asked a question, what's the difference between coaching college and coaching the NFL. And he said, it's not just worlds away, it's galaxies difference between the two. And I guarantee you it's the same thing from college basketball to the NBA. Same thing. Best of the best of the best are in the NBA. So a little bit of a learning curve, yeah. But he's been producing. I there's nothing that they can do that's going to convince me that Xavier Tillman does not deserve to be in the rotation. Or Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane needs more freaking shots. He's the best shooter on the team right now. Get that man more shots. He needs the green light. He needs to be pulling like Dylan. That's what he needs to do. He needs to go out there with the confidence of Dylan and be like, you know what? I got the ball. There's a foot and a half of space between me and my defender. Boom. In your eye. Let's get it. He's not shooting the ball enough.
Even less than a foot and a half. Do like 2 inches. That'd be dope.
Yeah, maybe not. But I'm just saying I would like to see him shoot the ball more.
Half court. Let's get it.
Kyle Anderson has played way, way too good for you to be talking about taking him out of the rotation. You know Ja Morant. I mean, you don't even mention that name because that's dumb.
They need to get him out of there.
Tyus is your backup point guard. He's going to be in the rotation.
Hell, duh.
BC is, you know.
They got too many good players, man.
Well, that's a good problem to have. It is a good problem to have.
But it's not good to have just a 10-man rotation, Taylor Jenkins.
When you have more than 10 guys that
exactly
can and have been producing. Anyway, we're going to get off of that soapbox. Sammy, let's look forward. Grizzlies are 6-6. We're going to call it 3 games. We're going from Sunday to Saturday. If you go from Monday to Sunday, they have 4 games this week. But we're going Sunday to Saturday. They have 3. It is at home against Phoenix on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That is the MLK Day game. I wish we were going to be at that game.
No kidding.
And then they travel to Portland for 2 on Wednesday and Friday. Sammy boy, let's go into the Phoenix matchup. Tell me what you got, man. I see you digging through notes there.
I've got it. Okay. Their all-time record. Phoenix leads 55-37.
Thump.
Boo-boo. But their last 10 are 6-4, so.
The Grizzlies are still, all right.
We're up on that. And their last 4, 4-1. So, even better. Oh, the last 5, excuse me. 4-1. There we go.
I was like, hold on.
I'm also a math whiz. And their last win, we were actually there. It was on January 26th last year. That was an awful, awful day.
It was, man. I remember that game. Yes. That was the day that Kobe died.
Yes, it was.
And it was... I mean, somber is probably the best word.
If that's even a word.
Devin Booker came out to warm up, man, and you could tell he was just not there.
No,
he
not
was
at all.
Like, and the relationship that he had with Kobe. I remember this like it was yesterday, man, because we were driving down.
Oh, I will never, ever forget where we were when I looked at my phone and I got tagged in a thing on Facebook, and I said, man, I just got tagged in this. And then you said, hey, my son just texted me and said the same thing.
And it happened. I mean, Sam said that he got tagged in that, and I got the text message from my son, and they were literally seconds apart.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
And I'm like, so I'm driving down the road, not being safe at all. Like, I'm searching, and I'm like, man, there's some credible websites that are saying.
I found it on the New York Times. That was the first website, and it kept crashing, too, and I kept having to refresh it, man.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah. Just a weird feeling, man. That's 2020 was crazy. You all know that. You went through with it. So the last win was at home January 26th of last year. What was the final? Did you have the score of that game?
Yes, 114-109.
Yeah, I can't even tell you. I don't remember that. I remember being in the forum that day, and I remember the players. I don't remember that game.
I don't remember the game in the slightest bit. I remember, like, us getting there, and it was pouring, like, not pouring down rain, but it was raining that day, and we I don't want to keep carrying on with this, but we went into Starbucks, and there was people not even interested in the game. They were sitting over there drinking their coffee on their laptops, and they were talking about it. And it's like people that don't even care about basketball were talking about it. Yeah. I mean, he's an icon, man.
Yep.
And
transcends the game.
Exactly.
Man.
I remember going in, you know, and we saw the players, and like you said, Devin Booker came out. It was, and he came through, and he was just lost.
I mean, you could tell that he had been emotional in the locker
room. Oh, my
gosh,
yes.
You know, it was
awful.
Yeah, it was definitely weird, man. And we thought going down that they may cancel the game.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know for sure what was going to go down. But it was definitely a weird day.
The only thing I remember about the game, because I remember leaving, but I don't remember, like, sitting there watching it. I just remember at the very beginning when they did the jump ball, they did the 24-second violation, and then the Suns did the 8-second violation. Yeah. I remember that. Everybody stood up and clapped, and then I remember leaving, literally. That's it. That's all I got.
I'm about the same way, man. It was kind of a blur. But anyway, it's a new-look Suns team. We'll get away from the Kobe stuff. That's tough to talk about still, man. Tough to talk about. New-look Suns, they moved some pieces, got Chris Paul, got rid of Kelly Oubre. That's still crazy to me that Oubre went to OKC. I think he would have been a great fit with
that
core, man.
Gosh, he would have ate. He would have ate.
That would have been crazy. But anyway, so new-look Suns team, Chris Paul there, Devin Booker's still there, DeAndre Ayton. Cam Johnson has been looking good this year. I remember Cam Johnson from that game last year. He was great, man.
Man, he came up and he told me, I remember that. See, I'm really upset talking about it, but he he told me, because he knew I was upset, and he just patted me and kind of halfway hugged me and said, man, we'll get through this together. And I will never forget that.
Yeah, super, super cool. So I'm glad that he's doing well.
Yes.
I'm okay if he doesn't do well against the Grizzlies, but.
Well, that's fine, but.
Oh, yeah. So the Grizzlies are 4-1 in the last five and 6-4 in the last 10 and way behind in the overall series. So things to watch for in this. Ja is back. Chris Paul is a good defender. That's going to be an interesting matchup to see what Ja can do. I think Dylan is definitely going to be guarding Booker in this matchup.
No doubt.
You know, because Dylan enjoys guarding the best player on the other team. You got JV and Ayton. Good centers have been eating JV up this year. Seems to be a reoccurring theme. It's going to be a tough game for them. Definitely a winnable game at home. The Grizzlies have been playing well. Just got to execute, man. Got to take care of the ball. No turnovers.
Just got to get it.
Got to rebound. You got, you know, there were talks about, you know, these conversations about maybe a JV trade. Somebody,
bleh.
I want to say it may have been Parker Fleming from Grizzly Bear Blues said keep an eye out with Nurk going down. The Portland may reach out to Memphis for JV. And somebody's like, why? Why would they get rid of them? Because then how are we going to rebound? And Parker had a great point in saying, hey, it's going to be a rebound by committee. You know, like Kyle Anderson is a good rebounder. Dylan Brooks is, you know, he doesn't rebound a whole lot, but he can. You know, you've got guys, Brandon Clark, there's guys on the team that can rebound. DeAnthony Melton is a good rebounder for his position. There's guys that are above average for their position at rebound. You lose a guy like JV, it's a big hole to fill. Obviously, if JV is not there, that's more rebounds for Jaren. Don't know how many more he's going to get, but it would leave a big hole there. And, you know, that opens up minutes for Tillman. And I'm all about that. All about it. Not saying there's been nothing set in stone, so this is not a breaking news, you know, JV's going to Portland thing. Because there's a lot of logistics to work out in order for something like that to happen. But it wouldn't be surprising if Portland does make a move to try and get a big to replace Nurkic, because you can't go into the playoffs with Enes Kanter as your only five.
They got Giles playing a little bit too, but
Covington played the five, but he's undersized. He's 6'7".
Very undersized. I about to say, because he played the – I mean, he was
and
the center
in
Houston.
He did.
And he did okay, but he's very undersized.
Yeah, he's not going to match up. You're not going to have Bob Covington guarding Jokic. It's not going to work out well for
boy.
Him. You know, Bob Covington on Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis isn't as physical as Jokic. That matchup is a little bit better. But there's bigs that you're going to run into in the playoffs that Robert Covington is not going to be able to guard. So you would think if they're serious about competing in the playoffs, that they may go and make a move for a big. We'll see. Don't know.
Me neither, but.
You got anything else on Portland, man?
I do. I do indeed.
Or not, I didn't even say it. Phoenix. I meant Phoenix because we didn't even move on to Portland yet. We were talking about them a little.
Well, we were talking. I don't have anything else on Phoenix. I do have stuff on Portland.
Okay, let's go ahead. We kind of jumped ahead of ourselves there, but that's all right.
So what
you got on Portland, man?
Portland. They lead the total 51-40. The last 10 is 5-5.
I wouldn't have guessed it.
Yeah. And their last five, Grizzlies are 2-3.
All right, running behind there.
Yep, just a smidge.
Yeah, so Portland is kind of there hurting. I didn't see an update, but I know C.J. McCollum left the game last night with a foot injury. I don't know how serious that is or how much time he's going to miss.
I think it was a sprained ankle. So
is it? Okay.
Yes,
did you see a time frame?
I did not.
Okay, I did see the last thing that I saw, and I looked again before we got on the podcast. I looked, and the last update that I saw is that he was going to get an MRI on it. So they're already down Nurk, which is a starter. Zach Collins is out. They may be down C.J. McCollum. The Grizzlies are going to Portland, getting healthier. Killian Tilly was listed as questionable, so we may even see Tilly a little bit. I don't know how you squeeze him minutes into the rotation. And again, you're not taking anybody out to give him minutes, so I don't know what's going to happen there. But the Grizzlies are getting healthier, going into Portland against a team that is going in the opposite direction. You finding an update over there?
Yeah, it says McCollum underwent x-rays and an MRI and was diagnosed with a left foot sprain after exiting at halftime of Saturday's win over the Hawks.
What's he listed as? You got
he's
it?
He's day-to-day.
So he may be playing. I don't
know.
He's
not out indefinitely because they're comparing him to Nurk. You know, they're like, you know, with him not being out like Nurkic indefinitely. It's unclear if McCollum will be forced to miss any time, so it should be considered questionable for Monday's game against the Spurs. So, yeah, okay.
So he may sit out Monday, maybe back by the time the Grizzlies play
just
them
skip
on
one
Wednesday.
More. Just skip one more game, or two
maybe
more games.
Yeah,
me.
We got them back-to-back
yeah,
Wednesday,
just skip
Friday.
Two, three more games, you're good.
Yep, it's if McCollum is healthy, it's a tougher game. If he is out, that is a I think that's a winnable game in Portland, man. They can definitely compete with this team either way. This Grizzlies team, they started off the season not really playing that great of defense. That the first regular season game against the Hawks, they looked terrible on the defensive end. They've since improved, and they've improved dramatically. And they're going to have to play good defense against the Trailblazers team, even minus C.J. McCollum. You still have Damian Lillard that can fill it up. You got Carmelo Anthony to a definite lesser degree, you know, deeper in his career. But, you know, he can do it. Anthony Simons, Gary Trent Jr., they've got guys that can score. They're going to have to be effective on the defensive end in order to beat this team. Are we going to see Justice back in any of those games? Are we going to see Jaren back?
We're seeing Jaren tomorrow, dang it.
Jaren had an interview.
Make it happen.
And he was talking about he did grow. He is 7 foot now.
Oh, boy.
And he said he does have a timetable for a return, and it may sneak up on you.
Mm-hmm. I heard that.
May sneak up on you. That's all he gave us, and that's literally that's all we've gotten. This front office is very tight-lipped, and as a person that's covering the team, I freaking hate it.
It's awful.
I want some news. I want to know something. But then also, as a fan of the team, I'm like, it's pretty good. The other teams don't know. They don't know that, you know, they're not going to know until the day before when you release the injury report, hey, is he going to be back or no? Are we going to game plan for him or no? They don't know. It should be any time with Jaren. Any time.
It's tomorrow.
I hope that it is. In the article that I was reading, they said that he will not be back for the MLK game. But who knows? You know, he said
it could be a surprise.
He said his timetable is coming up, and it may surprise you how quick it is. That's better than no news. I'll take it. Sam, you got anything else on Portland?
I don't.
We didn't jump into them a whole lot.
I have like the last win against them, which was last year, February 12th, and they won 111-104.
Yeah, was that in Memphis or in Portland?
We were there.
In Memphis?
We were there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
When we tried to get Carmelo, and it was impossible.
Yeah, it wasn't happening.
Nope. He signed like 4.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave it with that, guys. You know about our sponsors. We talk about them on every show. We still got the deal going on with the guys over at Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is out. It has been out, and it is the best in the biz. Our promo code over at Manscaped is HOOPBALL20. That gets you 20% off and free shipping. Go check them out. Get you the Lawnmower 3.0 and take care of the boys.
All you got to do.
MyBookie.ag, same promo code. Still going. HOOPBALL is the promo code at MyBookie.ag. They're the best online sportsbook, more lines and better odds than any other sportsbook out there. And the Super Bowl is right around the corner. Got an email the other day from MyBookie, and they have got some Super Bowl boost going on. So if you're going to bet on the Super Bowl, go over to MyBookie.ag, get signed up with our promo code HOOPBALL, get the bonus from us, get the bonus from MyBookie. Depending on how much you bet, they're going to give you extra money to bet on the Super Bowl.
It's all that matters.
It's free money. If you're going to bet on it anyway, it's the most bet on sporting event.
Ever? Or like one of them?
Of the year.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the most bet on sporting events of the year. If you're going to do it, why not go over to mybookie.ag and take advantage of the extra money? It's crazy if you don't.
It's free money. It's a win-win. You're literally getting free money. It's free.
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 All you do, you go in, you bet on the Super Bowl. If you win, you win extra money. If you lose, you only lose the money that you put up.
Win-win. Well, I guess unless you lose, but still, you're not losing as much as you bet then, so there you go.
You stand to win a significant amount more just by going over and signing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code is HOOPBALL. We're going to get out of here. The show is on Twitter at HoopBallGrizz. I am at DWill2111. Sam is?
It is SammyB1118. That is a capital S, lowercase a, N-N-Y, capital B, 1-1-1.
Till next time, go Grizz.
Go Grizz. Yay, guys.
This has been a HoopBALL presentation.